Lord Dudley's viceregal carriages passed, and were unsaluted by Mr. Dudley White, B.L., M.A., who stood on Arran Quay, outside Mrs. M.E. White's, the pawnbroker's, at the corner of Arran Street West, stroking his nose with his forefinger, undecided whether he should arrive at Phibsborough more quickly by a triple change of tram, or by hailing a car, or on foot through Smithfield, Constitution Hill, and Broadstone Terminus. In the porch of Four Courts, Richie Goulding, with the costs bag of Goulding, Collis and Ward, saw him with surprise. Past Richmond Bridge, at the doorstep of the office of Reuben J. Dodd, solicitor, agent for the Patriotic Insurance Company, an elderly female, about to enter, changed her plan, and, retracing her steps by King's windows, smiled credulously at the representative of His Majesty. From its sluice in Woodkey Wall, under Tom Devon's office, Poddle River hung out in fealty a tongue of liquid sewage. Above the cross-blind of the Ormond Hotel, gold by bronze, Miss Kennedy's head, by Miss Deuce's head, watched and admired. On Ormond Quay, Mr. Simon Dedalus, steering his way from the greenhouse for the sub-sheriff's office, stood still in mid-street and brought his hat low. His Excellency graciously returned Mr. Dedalus's greeting. From Cahill's Corner, the Reverend Hugh C. Love, M.A., made obeisance unperceived, mindful of Lord's deputies whose hands benignant had held of yore rich advowsons. On Grattan Bridge, Lenehan and McCoy, taking leave of each other, watched the carriages go by. Passing by Roger Green's office and Dollard's big red printing house, Gertie McDowell, carrying the Catesby's corked lino letters for her father, who was laid up, knew by the style it was the Lord and Lady Lieutenant, but she couldn't see what Her Excellency had on, because the tram, and Spring's big yellow furniture van, had to stop in front of her, on account of it being the Lord Lieutenant. Beyond Lundy's Foot, from the shaded door of Kavanagh's wine rooms, John Wise Nolan smiled with unseen coldness towards the Lord Lieutenant General and General Governor of Ireland. The Right Honourable William Humble, Earl of Dudley, G.C.V.O., passed Mickey Anderson's old-times ticking watches, and Henry and James wax smart-suited, fresh-cheeked models, the gentleman Henry, Dernier Cree James. Over against Dame Gate, Tom Rochford and Nosey Flynn watched the approach of the cavalcade. Tom Rochford, seeing the eyes of Lady Dudley on him, took his thumbs quickly out of the pockets of his claret waistcoat and doffed his cap to her. A charming soubrette, Great Mary Kendall, with dauby cheeks and lifted skirt, smiled daubily from her poster upon William Humble, Earl of Dudley, and upon Lieutenant Colonel H.G. Heseltine, and also upon the Honourable Gerald Ward, A.D.C. From the window of the D.B.C., Buck Mulligan, gaily, and Haynes, gravely, gazed down on the viceregal equipage, over the shoulders of eager guests, whose massive forms darkened the chessboard, whereon John Howard Parnell looked intently. In Fownser Street, Dilly Dedalus, straining her sight upwards from Chardonnay's first French primer, saw sunshade spanned and wheel-spoke spinning in the glare. John Henry Menton, filling the doorway of commercial buildings, stared from wine-big oyster eyes, holding a fat gold hunter watch not looked at in his fat left hand, not feeling it. Where the foreleg of King Billy's horse pawed the air, Mrs. Breen plucked her hastening husband back from under the hoofs of the outriders. She shouted in his ear the tidings. Understanding, he shifted his tomes to his left breast and saluted the second carriage. The Honourable Gerald Ward, A.D.C., agreeably surprised, made haste to reply. At Ponsonby's Corner, a jaded white flagon H halted, and four tall-hatted white flagons halted behind him. E.L.Y. apostrophe S, while outriders pranced past, and carriages. Opposite Pigger's Music Warerooms, Mr. Dennis J. McGinney, professor of dancing, etc., gaily apparelled, gravely walked, outpassed by a viceroy, and unobserved. By the provost's wall came jauntily Blazes Boylan, stepping in tan shoes and socks with sky-blue clocks to the refrain of My Girl's a Yorkshire Girl. Blazes Boylan presented to the leader's sky-blue frontlets and high action a sky-blue tie, a wide-brimmed straw hat at a rakish angle, and a suit of indigo serge. His hands in his jacket pockets forgot to salute, but he offered to the three ladies the bold admiration of his eyes and the red flower between his lips. As they drove along Nassau Street, His Excellency drew the attention of his bowing consort to the programme of music which was being discoursed in College Park. unseen brazen Highland laddies blared and drum-thumped after the cortege.
But though she's a factory lass and wears no fancy clothes but a bum, yes, I've a sort of a Yorkshire relish for my little Yorkshire rose, but a bum.
Thither of the wall, the quarter-mile flat handicappers, M.C. Green, H. Thrift, T.M. Patey, C. Scaife, J.B. Jeffs, G.N. Morphy, F. Stevenson, C. Adderley, and W.C. Huggard, started in pursuit. Striding past Finn's Hotel, Cashel Boyle O'Connor Fitzmaurice Tisdall Farrell stared through a fierce eyeglass across the carriages at the head of Mr. E.M. Solomons in the window of the Austro-Hungarian Vice Consulate. Deep in Leinster Street by Trinity's postern, a loyal King's man, Hornblower, touched his tally-ho cap. As the glossy horses pranced by Merrion Square, Master Patrick Aloysius Dignam, waiting, saw salutes being given to the gent with the topper, and raised also his new black cap, with fingers greased by pork-steak paper. His collar, too, sprang up. The Viceroy, on his way to inaugurate the Myris Bazaar, in aid of funds for Messrs. Hospital, drove with his following towards Lower Mount Street. He passed a blind stripling opposite Broadbent's. In Lower Mount Street, a pedestrian in a brown mackintosh eating dry bread passed swiftly and unscathed across the Viceroy's path. At the Royal Canal Bridge, from his hoarding, Mr. Eugene Stratton, his blub lips a-grin, bade all comers welcome to Pembroke Township. At Haddington Road corner, two sanded women halted themselves, an umbrella and a bag in which 11 cockles rolled, to view with wonder the Lord Mayor and Lady Mayoress without his golden chain. On Northumberland and Lansdowne Roads, His Excellency acknowledged punctually salutes from rare male walkers. The salute of two small schoolboys at the garden gate of the house, said to have been admired by the late Queen when visiting the Irish capital with her husband, the Prince Consort, in 1849. And the salute of Almidano Artifoni's sturdy trousers, swallowed by a closing door. Bronze by gold, heard the hoof-irons steely ringing. Impertinent tintin. Chips, picking chips off rocky thumbnail. Chips. Horrid and gold-flushed moor. A husky fife-note blue. Blue. Blue bloom is on the gold-pinnacled hair. A jumping rose on satiny breasts of satin. Rose of Castile. Trilling, trilling.
Hi, Dolores.
Peep. Who's in the peep of gold? Tink cried to Bronze in pity, and a call pure, long and throbbing, long and dying call. Decoy, soft word, but look, the bright stars fade. O rose, notes chirruping answer, Castile, the morn is breaking. Jingle, jingle, jaunted jingling. Coin rang, clock clacked. Avowal, sonne, I could, rebound of garter, not leave thee. Smack, la cloche. Thigh smack, avowal, warm, sweetheart, goodbye. Jingle, blue. Boomed crashing chords. When love absorbs, war, war, the tympanum. A sail, a veil, a wave upon the waves. Lost, throstle fluted, all is lost now. Horn, haw horn, when first he saw, alas. Full tup, full throb, warbling, allure, alluring. Martha, come. Clap, clop, clip, clap, clappy, clap. Good God, he nev' her heard in all. Deaf ball pat, brought pad, knife took up. A moonlight night call, far, far. I feel so sad. P.S. So lonely, blooming. Listen. The spiked and winding cold sea horn. Have you the each and for other plash and silent roar? Pearls when she lists rhapsodies. Hiss. You don't? Did not. No, no. Believe. Lid, lid. With a cock, with a carra. Black. Deep sounding. Do, Ben, do. Wait while you wait. Hee, hee. Wait while you hee. But wait. Low in dark middle earth. Embedded ore. Namane damane. All gone. All fallen. Tiny, her tremulous fern foils of maiden hair. Amen, he gnashed in fury. Fro, to, fro. A baton cool, protruding. Bronze Lydia by minor gold. By bronze, by gold, in ocean green of shadow, bloom, old bloom. One rapped, one tapped, with a carra, with a cock. Pray for him, pray good people. His gouty fingers knackering. Big Ben-a-Ben, Big Ben-Ben. Last rose, Castile, of summer, left bloom. I feel so sad, alone. Pwee. Little wind, piped we. True men, lid care, cow, de and doll. Aye, aye, like you men. We'll lift your chink with chunk. Th, oh. Where bronze from anear, where gold from afar, where hoofs. Kra, krandel. Then, not till then, my epitaph be frit. Done. Begin. Bronze by gold, Miss Deuce's head by Miss Kennedy's head, over the cross blind of the Ormond Bar, heard the vice-regal hooves go by, ringing steel.
Is that her?
Asked Miss Kennedy. Miss Deuce said yes, sitting with his ex, pearl grey and O'Donnell.
Exquisite contrast, Miss Kennedy said.
When all agog, Miss Deuce said eagerly,
Look at the fella in the tall silk. Who? Where?
Gold asked more eagerly.
In the second carriage.
Miss Deuce's wet lips said, laughing in the sun.
He's lookin', mind till I see.
She darted bronze to the backmost corner, flattening her face against the pane in a halo of hurried breath. Her wet lips tittered.
He's kilt lookin' back, she laughed. All wept. Aren't men frightful idiots?
With sadness. Miss Kennedy sauntered sadly from bright light, twining a loose hair behind an ear. Sauntering sadly, gold no more, she twisted, twined a hair. Sadly, she twined in sauntering, gold hair, behind a curving ear.
It's them has the fine times, sadly then she said.
A man. Blue who went by Moulang's pipes, bearing in his breast the sweets of sin. By wine's antiques, in memory bearing sweet sinful words. By Carol's dusky battered plate, for Raoul. The boots to them in the bar, them barmaids came. For them, unheeding him, he banged on the counter his tray of chattering china, and,
"There's your teas," he said.
Miss Kennedy, with manners, transposed the tea tray down to an upturned lithia crate, safe from eyes, low.
"What is it?"
Loud Boots unmannerly asked.
"Find out,"
Miss Deuce retorted, leaving her spying point.
"Your bar, was it?"
A haughty bronze replied. "I'll complain to Mrs. Demacia and you if I hear any more of your impertinent insolence."
"Impertinent insolence."
Boots now sniffed rudely, as he retreated, as she threatened, as he had come. Bloom. On her flower frowning, Miss Deuce said,
"Most aggravating that young brat is. If he doesn't conduct himself, I'll wring his ear for him a yard long."
Ladylike, in exquisite contrast,
"Take no notice," Miss Kennedy rejoined.
She poured in a teacup tea, then back in the teapot tea. They cowered under their reef of counter, waiting on footstools, crates upturned, waiting for their teas to draw. They poured their blouses, both of black satin, 2 and 9 a yard, waiting for their teas to draw, and 2 and 7. Yes, bronze from anear, by gold from afar, heard steel from anear, hooves ring from afar, and heard steel hoofs ring hoof ring steel.
"Am I awfully sunburnt?"
Miss Bronze unbloused her neck.
"No," said Miss Kennedy. "It gets brown after. Did you try the borax with the cherry laurel water?"
Miss Deuce half stood, to see her skin askance in the bar mirror, gilded-lettered, where hock and claret glasses shimmered, and in their midst a shell.
"And leave it to my hands," she said. "Try it with the glycerine," Miss Kennedy advised.
Bidding her neck and hands adieu, Miss Deuce,
"Those things only bring out a rash," replied, reseated. "I asked for Elfogie and Boyd's for something of my skin." Miss Kennedy, pouring now full-drawn tea, grimaced and prayed, "Oh, don't remind me of him, for mercy's sake!" "But wait till I tell you," Miss Deuce entreated. Sweet tea, Miss Kennedy, having poured with milk, plugged both two ears with little fingers. "No, don't!" she cried. "I won't listen!" she cried. "But Bloom?" Miss Deuce grunted in Snuffy Fogey's tone. "For your what?" says he. Miss Kennedy unplugged her ears to hear, to speak, but said, but prayed again, "Don't let me think of him or I'll expire, the hideous old wretch, that night in the ancient concert rooms." She sipped distastefully her brew, hot tea, a sip, sipped sweet tea. "Here he was," Miss Deuce said, cocking her bronze head three quarters, ruffling her nose wings. "Hoffa, hoffa!" Shrill shriek of laughter sprang from Miss Kennedy's throat. Miss Deuce huffed and snorted down her nostrils that quivered impertinent like a shout in quest. "Oh!" shrieking Miss Kennedy cried. "Will you ever forget his goggle eye?" Miss Deuce chimed in deep bronze laughter, shouting, "And your other eye!" Blue Who's dark eye read Aaron Figgartner's name. Why do I always think fig-gather? Gathering figs, I think. And Prosper Lorry's Huguenot name. By Bassie's Blessed Virgins, Bloom's dark eyes went by. Blue-robed, white under, come to me. God they believe she is, or goddess, those today. I could not see. That fella spoke, student, afterward Dedalus' son. He might be Mulligan, all comely virgins. That brings those rakes of fellas in, or white. By went his eyes, the sweets of sin. Sweet are the sweets of sin. In a giggling peal, young gold-bronze voices blended. Deuce with Kennedy, your other eye. They threw young heads back. Bronze, giggle gold, to let free fly their laughter, screaming, "Your other!" signals to each other, high piercing notes. "Ah!" panting, sighing, "Ah!" foredone, their mirth died down. Miss Kennedy lipped her cup again, raised, drank a sip, and giggled. Miss Deuce, bending again over the tea tray, ruffled again her nose and rolled droll, fattened eyes. Again Kenny giggles, stooping her fair pinnacles of hair, stooping, her tortoise nape comb showed, spluttered out of her mouth her tea, choking in tea and laughter, coughing with choking, crying, "Oh, greasy eyes! Imagine being married to a man like that," she cried, "with his bitter beard!" Deuce gave full vent to a splendid yell, a full yell of full woman, delight, joy, indignation. "Married to the greasy nose!" she yelled. Shrill with deep laughter, after bronze in gold, they urged each to peal after peal, ringing in changes, bronze gold, gold bronze, shrill deep, to laughter after laughter, and then laughed more. "Greasy, I know!" Exhausted, breathless, the shaken heads they laid, braided and pinnacled by glossy combed, against the counter-ledge. All flushed, oh! Panting, sweating, oh! All breathless. Married to Bloom, the greasy sea bloom. "Oh, saints above!" Miss Deuce said, sighed above her jumping rose. "I wish I hadn't laughed so much. I feel all wet." "Oh, Miss Deuce!" Miss Kennedy protested. "You horrid thing!" And flushed yet more, "You horrid!" more goldenly. By Cantrell's offices roved Greasy Bloom, by Cheppy's virgins, bright of their oils. Nanetti's father hawked those things about, wheedling at doors, as I. Religion pays. Must see him about keys, Pa. Eat first, I want. Not yet. At four, she said. Time ever passing. Clock hands turning. On. Where eat? The Clarence. Dolphin. On. For Raoul. Eat. If I net 5 guineas with those ads. The violet silk petticoats. Not yet. The sweets of sin. Flushed less, still less, goldenly paled. Into the bar strolled Mr. Dedalus, Chips, picking chips off one of his rocky thumbnails. Chips, he strolled.
"Oh, welcome back, Miss Deuce."
He held her hand. "Enjoyed her holidays?" "Tip-top." He hoped she had nice weather in Ross Trevor. "Gorgeous," she said. "Look at the holy show I am, lying out on the strand all day. Bronze whiteness."
"That was exceedingly naughty of you," Mr. Dedalus told her, and pressed her hand indulgently. "Tempting poor simple males."
Miss Deuce of Saturn deuced her arm away.
"Oh, go away," she said. "You're very simple, I don't think."
He was.
"Well, now I am," he mused. "I look so simple in the cradle, they christened me Simple Simon."
"You must have been a dotie,"
Miss Deuce made answer.
"And what did the doctor order today?"
"Well, now," he mused, "whatever you say yourself, I think I'll trouble you for some fresh water and a half glass of whiskey."
Jingle.
"With the greatest alacrity,"
Miss Douce agreed. With grace of alacrity towards the mirror, gilt Cantaloup Cochrane's, she turned herself. With grace, she tapped a measure of gold whisky from her crystal keg. Forth from the skirt of his coat, Mr. Dedalus brought pouch and pipe. Alacrity, she served. He blew through the flue two husky fife notes.
By Jove, he mused, I often wanted to see the Mourne Mountains. Must be a great tonic in the air down there. But a long threatening comes at last, they say. Yes, yes.
Yes. He fingered shreds of hair, her maiden hair, her mermaid's, into the bowl. Chips, shreds, musing, mute. None not said nothing. Yes. Gaily Miss Douce polished a tumbler, trilling,
Oh, I, Dolores, Queen of the East and Seas.
Was Mr. Lidwell in today?
In came Lenehan. Round him peered Lenehan. Mr. Bloom reached Essex Bridge. Yes, Mr. Bloom crossed Bridge of Essex. To Martha I must write, by paper, Daly's girl there, civil. Bloom, old Bloom, Blue Bloom is on the rye.
He was in at lunchtime, Miss Douce said.
Lenehan came forward. Was Mr. Boylan looking for me? He asked. She answered,
Miss Kennedy, was Mr. Boylan in while I was upstairs?
She asked. Miss Voice of Kennedy answered, a second teacup poised, her gaze upon a page.
No, he was not.
Miss Gaze of Kennedy, heard not seen, read on. Lenehan, round the sandwich bell, wound his round body round.
Peep, who's in the corner?
No glance of Kennedy rewarding him. He yet made overtures. To mind her stops. To read only the black ones, round O and crooked S. Jingle, jaunty jingle. Girl gold she read, and did not glance. Take no notice. She took no notice, while he read by rote a sulphur fable to her, plappering flatly.
A fox met a stork, said the fox to the stork, Will you put your bill down in my throat and pull up a bone?
He droned in vain. Miss Douce turned to her tea, aside. He sighed, aside.
Ah, me, oh, my.
He greeted Mr. Dedalus and got a nod.
Greetings from the famous son of a famous father. Who may he be?
Mr. Dedalus asked. Lenehan opened most genial arms. Who?
Who may he be? He asked. Can you ask? Stephen, the youthful bard.
Dry. Mr. Dedalus' famous father laid by his dry, filled pipe.
I see, he said. I didn't recognize him for the moment. I hear he's keeping very select company. Have you seen him lately?
He had.
I quaffed the nectar ball with him this very day, said Lenehan, in Mooney's Envie and in Mooney's Sur Mer. He had received the rhino for the labor of his muse.
He smiled at Bronze's tea-bathed lips, at listening lips and eyes.
The elite of Erin hung upon his lips, the ponderous pundit Hugh McHugh, Dublin's most brilliant scribe and editor, and that minstrel boy of the Wild Wet West, who was known by the euphonious appellation of the O'Madden Burke.
After an interval, Mr. Dedalus raised his grog, and,
That must have been highly diverting, said he. I see.
He see. He drank. With faraway morning mountain eye, set down his glass. He looked toward the saloon door.
I see you've moved the piano.
The tuner was in today, Miss Douce replied, tuning it for the smoking concert, and I never heard such an exquisite player.
Is that a fact?
Didn't he, Miss Kennedy? The real classical, you know, and blind too, poor fella. Not 20, I'm sure he was.
Is that a fact?
Mr. Dedalus said. He drank and strayed away.
So sad to look at his face,
Miss Douce condoled. God's curse on bitch's bastard.
Tink to her pity, cried a diner's bell. To the door of the dining room came bold Pat, came bothered Pat, came Pat, waiter of Ormond. Lager for diner. Lager without alacrity, she served. With patience, Lenehan waited for Boylan with impatience, for Jingle Jaunty Blazer's boy. Upholding the lid, he, who, gazed in the coffin, coffin, at the oblique triple piano wires. He pressed, the same who pressed indulgently her hand, soft pedalling a triple of keys, to see the thicknesses of felt advancing, to hear the muffled hammer fall in action. Two sheets, cream vellum paper, one reserve, two envelopes, when I was in Wisdom Healy's. Wise Bloom in Daly's, Henry Flower bought. Are you not happy in your home? Flower to console me in a pin cuts low. Means something, language of flower. Was it a daisy? Innocence, that is.
respectable girl, meet after mass. Thanks awfully muchly. Wise Bloom eyed on the door a poster, a swaying mermaid smoking mid nice waves.
Smoke, mermaids, coolest whiff of all, hair streaming, love lawn, for some man,
for Raoul. He eyed and saw afar on Essex Bridge a gay hat riding on a jaunting car.
It is third time. Coincidence.
Jingling on supple rubbers, it jaunted from the bridge to Ormond Quay. Follow. Risk it. Go quick. At four. Near now. Out.
Tuppence, sir,
the shop girl dared to say.
Ah, I was forgetting. Excuse. And four. At four, she...
Winsomely, she unblew him whom, smiled.
Blue smile. Quick, go. To noon.
Think you're the only pebble on the beach. Does that to all. For men. In drowsy silence, Gold bent on her page. From the saloon a call came, long in dying. That was a tuning fork the tuner had, that he forgot, that he now struck. A call again, that he now poised, that it now throbbed. You hear? It throbbed, pure, purer, softly and softlier, its buzzing prongs. Longer in dying call. Pat paid for Dinah's pop-corked bottle, and over tumbler tray and pop-corked bottle, ere he went, he whispered, bald and bothered, with Miss Deuce.
The bright stars fade.
A voiceless song sang from within, singing.
The morn is breaking.
A duodene of bird notes chirruped bright treble answer under sensitive hands. Brightly the keys, all twinkling, linked, all harpsichording, called to a voice to sing the strain of dewy morn, of youth, of love's leave-taking, life's love's morn.
The dewdrops pearl.
Lenehan's lips over the counter lisped a low whistle of decoy.
But look this way, he said. Rose of Castile.
Jingle jaunted by the curb and stopped. She rose and closed her reading, Rose of Castile. Fretted forlorn, dreamily rose. Did she fall or was she pushed? He asked her.
She answered, slighting, Ask no question till you hear no lies.
Like lady, ladylike. Blazes Boylan, smart tan shoes, creaked on the bar floor, where he strode. Yes, gold from anear by bronze from afar. Lenehan heard and knew and hailed him.
See, the conquering hero comes!
Between the car and window, warily walking, went Bloom, unconquered hero.
See me, he might. The seat he sat on. Warm.
Black, wary he-cat walked towards Richie Goulding's legal bag, lifted aloft, saluting.
And I from thee.
I heard you were round, said Blazes Boylan. He touched to fair Miss Kennedy a rim of a slanted straw. She smiled on him. But Sister Bronze outsmiled her, preening for him her richer hair, a bosom and a rose. Boylan bespoke potions.
What's your cry? Glass of bitter? Glass of bitter, please, and a slow gin for me. Wire in yet?
Not yet. At four, he. All said four. Cowley's red lugs and Adam's apple in the door of the sheriff's office. Avoid. Goulding, a chance. What is he doing in the Ormond? Car waiting. Wait.
Hello! Where off to?
Something to eat? I too was just in here.
What? Ormond? Best value in Dublin.
Is that so? Dining room. Sit tight there. See, not be seen. I think I'll join you. Come on.
Richie led on. Bloom followed bag. Dinner fit for a prince. Miss Deuce reached high to take a flagon, stretching her satin arm, her bust, that all but burst, so high.
Oh,
jerked Lenehan, gasping at each stretch.
Oh!
But easily she seized her prey and led it low in triumph.
Why don't you grow? Asked Blazes Boylan.
She, Bronze, dealing from her jar thick syrupy liquor for his lips, looked as it flowed, flour in his coat. Who gave him? And syrupped with her voice,
Fine goods and small parcels.
That is to say, she. Neatly she poured, slow, syrupy, slow.
Here's fortune, Blazes said.
He pitched a broad coin down. Coin rang.
Hold on, said Lenehan, till I... Fortune, he wished, lifting his bubbled ale.
Scepter will win an encounter, he said.
I plunged a bit, said Boylan, winking and drinking. Not on my own, you know. Fancy it, a friend of mine.
Lenehan still drank and grinned at his tilted ale, and at Miss Deuce's lips, that all but hummed, not shut, the ocean song her lips had trilled, Idolores, the Eastern Seas. Clock whirred. Miss Kennedy passed their way. Flower, wonder who gave. Bearing away tea tray. Clock clacked. Miss Deuce took Boylan's coin, struck boldly the cash register. It clanged. Clock clacked. Fair One of Egypt teased and sorted in the till, and hummed and handed coins and change.
Look to the west.
A clack.
For me.
What time is that? Asked Blazes Boylan. 4
o'clock. Lenehan, small eyes a-hunger on her humming, bust a-humming, tugged Blazes Boylan's elbow sleeve. Let's hear the time, he said. The bag of Goulding Collis Ward led Bloom by rye-bloom-flowered tables. Aimless, he chose with agitated aim, bald Pat attending, a table near the door. Be near, at 4, has he forgotten? Perhaps a trick. Not come, wet appetite. I couldn't do. Wait, wait. Pat, waiter, waited. Sparkling, bronze, azure-eyed, Blazure's sky-blue bow and eyes.
Go on, pressed Lenehan. There's no one. He never heard.
To Flora's lips did high.
High, a high note pealed in the treble clear. Bronze Deuce, communing with her rose that sank and rose, sought Blazes Boylan's flower and eyes.
Please, please,
he pleaded over returning phrases of avowal.
I could not leave thee.
Afterwards, Miss Deuce promised coyly.
No, now, urged Lenehan. Sonne la cloche. Oh, do.
There's no one.
She looked, quick, Miss Ken out of earshot. Sudden, bent. Two kindling faces watched her bend. Quavering, the chords strayed from the air, found it again, lost chord, and lost and found it, faltering.
Go on, do, sonne.
Bending, she nipped a peak of skirt above her knee. Delayed, taunted them still, bending, suspending, with willful eyes.
Sonne.
Smack. She let free, sudden, in rebound, her nipped elastic garter, smack warm against her smackable woman's warm-hosed thigh.
La cloche! Cried gleeful Lenehan. Trained by owner, no sawdust there.
She smile-smirked, supercilious, wept, aren't men, but lightward gliding, mild she smiled, on Boylan.
You're the essence of vulgarity,
she and gliding said. Boylan eyed, tossed to fat lips his chalice, drank off his tiny chalice, sucking the last fat violet syrupy drops. His spellbound eyes went after her gliding head, as it went down the bar by mirrors, gilded arch for ginger ale, hock and claret glasses shimmering, a spiky shell, where it concerted, mirrored, bronze with sunnier bronze. Yes, bronze from nearby.
Sweetheart, goodbye.
I'm off, said Boyle with impatience.
He slid his chalice brisk away, grasped his change.
Wait a shake, begged Lenehan, drinking quickly. I wanted to tell you, Tom Rochford. Come on to Blazes, said Blazes Boylan, going.
Lenehan gulped to go.
Got the horn or what? He said. Wait, I'm coming.
He followed the hasty creaking shoes, but stood by nimbly by the threshold, saluting forms, a bulky with a slender.
How do you do, Mr. Dollard? Hey, how do? How do?
Ben Dollard's vague bass answered, turning an instant from Father Cowley's woe.
He won't give you any trouble, Bob. Al Bergen will speak to the Longfellow. We'll put a barley straw on that Judas Iscariot's ear this time.
Sighing, Mr. Dedalus came through the saloon, a finger soothing an eyelid.
Oh-ho, we will, Ben Dollard yodeled jollily. Come on, Simon, give us a ditty. We heard the piano.
Bald Pat, bothered waiter, waited for drink orders. Par for Richie and Bloom, let me see, not make him walk twice. His corns, 4 now. How warm this black is. Course nerves a bit. Refracts, is it, heat? Let me see, cider, yes, bottle of cider.
What's that?
Mr. Dedalus said.
I was only vamping, man. Come on, come on, Ben Dollard called. Begone, dull care. Come, Bob.
He ambled Dollard, bulky slops before them. Hold that fellow with the, hold him now, into the saloon. He plumped him, Dollard, on the stool. His gouty paws plumped cords. Plumped, stopped, abrupt. Bald Pat in the doorway met Tealess Gold returning. Bothered, he wanted power and cider. Bronze by the window watched, bronze from afar. Jingle, a tinkle, jaunted. Bloom heard a jing, a little sound. He's off. Light sob of breath, Bloom sighed, on the silent blue-hued flowers. Jingling, he's gone. Jingle, here.
"Love and war, Ben," Mr. Dedalus said. "God be with all times."
Miss Deuce's brave eyes, unregarded, turned from the cross-blind, smitten by sunlight. Gone. Pensive. Who knows? Smitten. The smiting light. She lowered the drop-blind with the sliding cord. She drew down pensive. Why did he go so quick when I... About her bronze, over the bar where Ball stood by Sister Gold. In exquisite contrast. Contrast inexquisite, non-exquisite. Slow, cool, dim, sea-green sliding depth of shadow, O'Donnell.
Poor old Goodwin was the pianist that night, Father Cowley reminded them. There was a slight difference of opinion between himself and the Collard Grand.
There was.
A symposium all his own, Mr. Dedalus said. The divil wouldn't stop him. He was a crotchety old fella in the primary stage of drink. God, do you remember?
Ben Bulky Doll had said, turning from the punished keyboard.
And by japers, I had no wedding garment.
They laughed, all three. He had no wed. All trio laughed, no wedding garment.
Our friend Bloom turned in handy that night, Mr. Dedalus said. Where's my pipe, by the way?
He wandered back to the bar, to the lost cord pipe. Bald Pat carried two diners' drinks, Richie and Poldy, and Father Cowley laughed again.
I saved the situation, Ben, I think. You did, averred Ben Dollard. I remember those toy trousers, too. That was a brilliant idea, Bob.
Father Cowley blushed to his brilliant purply lobes. He saved the situation.
I knew he was on the rocks, he said. The wife was playing the piano in the coffee palace on Saturdays for a very trifling consideration, and who was it gave me the wheeze she was doing the other business? Do you remember? We had to search all Holler Street to find them, till the chap in Kyo's gave us the number. Remember?
Ben remembered, his broad visage wondering.
By God, she had some luxurious opera cloaks and things there.
Mr. Dedalus wandered back, pipe in hand.
Marion Square style, ball dresses, by God, and court dresses. He wouldn't take any money either. What? Any God's quantity of cocked hats and boleros and truncos. What? Aye, aye, Mr. Dedalus nodded. Mrs. Marion Bloom has left off clothes of all descriptions.
Jingle jaunted down the quays. Blazers sprawled on bounding tires.
Liver and bacon. Steak and kidney pie. Right, sir. Right, Pat.
Mrs. Marion met him picosis. Smell of burn of Paul de Kock. Nice name, he.
What's this her name was? A buxom lassie. Marion Tweedy. Yes, is she alive? And kicking? She was the daughter of the regiment? Yes, begad, I remember the old drum major.
Mr. Dedalus struck, whizzed, lit, puffed savoury puff after.
Irish, I don't know, fate. Is she, Simon?
Puff after stiff. A puff, strong, savoury crackling.
A buccinator muscle is... What? Bit rusty. Oh, she is, my Irish Molly, oh?
He puffed a pungent, plumy blast.
From the Rock of Gibraltar, all the way.
They pined in depth of ocean shadow, gold by the beer pool, bronze by maraschino, thoughtful all too. Minor Kennedy, four Lismore Terrace, Drumcondra, with Ida Lores, a queen, Dolores, silent. Pat served uncovered dishes. Leopold cut liver slices. As said before, he ate with relish the inner organs, nutty gizzards, fried cod's roes, while Richie Goulding, Collis Ward, ate steak and kidney, steak, then kidney, bite by bite of pie he ate. Bloom ate, they ate. Bloom with Goulding, married in silence, ate. Dinners fit for princes. By Bachelor's Walk, jog jaunty, jingled Blazes Boylan, bachelor, in sun, in heat. Mare's glossy rump a trot, with flick of whip on bounding tires, sprawled, warm-seated. Boylan in patience, ardent bold. Horn, have you the? Horn, have you the? Horn! Over their voices, Dollard bassooned attack, booming over bombarding chords.
When love absorbs my ardent soul.
Roll of Bensoul Benjamin rolled to the quivery love-shivery roof panes.
"War! War!" cried Father Cowley. "You're the warrior!"
"So I am," Ben Warrior laughed. "I was thinking of your landlord, love or money."
He stopped. He wagged huge beard, huge face over his blunder huge.
"So you'd burst the tympanum of our ear, man?" Mr. Dedalus said, through smoke aroma. "With an organ like yours?"
In bearded, abundant laughter, Dollard shook upon the keyboard. He would.
"Not to mention another membrane," Father Cowley added. "Half-time, Ben. Amoroso man non troppo. Let me there."
Miss Kennedy served two gentlemen with tankards of cool stout. She passed a remark.
It was indeed, First Gentleman said, beautiful weather. They drank cool stout. Did she know where the Lord Lieutenant was going? And heard steel hoofs ring, hoof, ring. No, she couldn't say. But it would be in the paper. Oh, she needn't trouble.
No trouble.
She waved about her outspread independent, searching the Lord Lieutenant. Her pinnacles of hair, slow-moving.
Lord Lieutenant.
Too much trouble, First Gentleman said.
Oh, not in the least.
Way he looked, that Lord Lieutenant, gold by bronze, heard iron steel.
My ardent soul, I care not for the morrow.
In liver gravy, blue mashed mashed potatoes, Love and War summoners, Ben Dollard's famous, Natty ran round to us to borrow a dress suit for that concert, trousers tight as a drum on him, musical porkers. Molly did laugh when he went out, threw herself back across the bed, screaming, kicking, with all his belongings on show. Oh, saints above, I'm drenched. Oh, the women in the front row. Oh, I never laughed so many. Well, of course, that's what gives him the bass barrel tone. For instance, Eunuchs. Wonder who's playing. Nice touch. Must be Cowley. Musical. Knows whatever note you play. Bad breath he has, poor chap. Stopped. Miss Deuce engaging, Lydia Deuce, bowed to suave solicitor George Lidwell, gentleman entering. Good afternoon. She gave her moist a lady's hand to his firm clasp.
Afternoon. Yes, she was back to the old ding-dong again. Your friends are inside, Mr. Lidwell.
George Lidwell, suave, solicited, held a Lydia hand. Bloom et live, as said before. Clean here, at least. That chap in the Burton. Gummy with gristle. No one here, Gouldie and I. Clean tables, flowers, mitres of napkins. Pat to and fro, ball pat. Nothing to do. Best value in dub. Piano again. Cowley it is. Way he sits into it, like one together, mutual understanding. Tiresome shape of scraping fiddles, eye on the bow end, sawing the cello. Remind you of toothache. Her high, long snore. Night we were in the box, trombone under, blowing like a grampus between the acts, other brass chap, unscrewing, emptying spittle. Conductor's legs too, bags, trousers, jiggity jiggity. Do right to hide them. Jiggity jingle, jaunty jaunty. Only the harp. Lovely gold, glowering light. Girl touched it, poop of a lovely. Gravy's rather good, fit for a golden ship, Aaron, the harp that once or twice. Cool hands, Ben Hoth. The rhododendrons. We are their harps. I, he, old, young.
I couldn't, man, Mr. Dedalus said, shy, listless, strongly. Go on, blast you, Ben Dollard growled. Get it out in bits.
Ma paree,
Simon, Father Cowley said. Downstage he strode some paces, grave, tall in affliction, his long arms outheld. Hoarsely, the apple of his throat hoarsed softly. Softly he sang to a dusty seascape there, a last farewell. A headland, a ship, a sail upon the billows, farewell. A lovely girl, her veil a wave, upon the wind, upon the headland, wind around her. Cowley sang,
Ma pari tu d'amor, il mio sguardo l'incontro.
She waved, unhearing Cowley, her veil to one departing, dear one, to wind, love, speeding sail, return.
Go on, Simon. As sure my dancing days are done, Ben.
Well,
Mr. Dedalus laid his pipe to rest beside the tuning fork, and sitting, touched the obedient keys.
No, Simon, Father Cowley turned. Play it in the original, one flat.
The keys, obedient, rose higher. Told, faltered, confessed, confused. Upstage strode Father Cowley.
Here, Simon, I'll accompany you, he said. Get up.
By Graham Lemon's Pineapple Rock, by Elvery's Elephant, jingle jogged. Steak, kidney, liver, mashed at meat, fit for princes at Princes Bloom and Goulding. Princes at meat, they raised and drank, power and cider.
Most beautiful tenor air ever written, Richie said. Sonambula.
He heard Joe Mass sing that one night.
Ah, what? McGuckin? Yes, in his way, choir boy style. Mass was the boy. Mass boy. A lyrical tenor, if you like. Never forget it. Never.
Tenderly, Bloom over liverless bacon saw the tightened features strain. Backache, he. Bright's bright eye. Next item on the program. paying the piper. Pills, pounded bread, worth a guinea a box. Stave it off a while. Sings, too. Down among the dead men. Appropriate. Kidney pie, sweets to the... Not making much hand of it. Best value and characteristic of him. Power. Particular about his drink. Flaw in the glass. Fresh Vartry water. Fecking matches from counters to save. Then squander a sovereign in dribs and drabs. And when he's wanted, not a farthing. Screwed, refusing to pay his fare. Curious types. Never would Richie forget that night. As long as he lived, never. In the gods of the old royal, with little peak. And when the first note... Speech paused on Richie's lips, coming out with a whopper now. Rhapsodies about damn all. Believes his own lies. Does, really. Wonderful liar. But want a good memory. Which air is that? Asked Leopold Bloom.
All is lost now.
Richie cocked his lips a pout. A low incipient note, sweet banshee, murmured all. A thrush, a throstle. His breath, bird sweet, good teeth he's proud of, fluted with plaintive woe. Is lost. Rich sound. Two notes in one there. Blackbird ahead in the Hawthorn Valley. Taking my motives, he twined and turned them. Almost too new call is lost in all. Echo. How sweet the answer. How is that done? All lost now. Mournful, he whistled. Fall, surrender, lost. Bloom bent Leopold ear, turning a fringe of doily down under the vase. Order. Yes, I remember. Lovely air. In sleep she went to him. Innocence in the moon. Still, hold her back. Brave, don't know their danger. Call name, touch water, jingle jaunty. Too late. She longed to go. That's why, woman, as easy stop the sea. Yes, all is lost. A beautiful air, said Bloom, lost Leopold. I know it well. Never in all his life, had Richie Goulding. He knows it well, too. Or he feels. Still harping on his daughter. Wise child that knows her father, Dedalus said. Me? Bloom askance over liverless sore. Face of the all is lost. Rollicking Richie once. Jokes old, stale now. Wagging his ear. Napkin ring in his eye. Now begging letters he sends his son with. Cross-eyed Walter, sir. I did, sir. Wouldn't trouble only I was expecting some money. Apologize. Piano again. Sounds better than last time I heard. Tuned, probably. Stopped again. Dollard and Cowley still urged the lingering singer out with it.
With it, Simon.
It's Simon.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am most deeply obliged by your kind solicitations. It's Simon. I have no money, but if you will lend me your attention, I shall endeavour to sing to you of a heart bowed down.
By the sandwich bell, in screening shadow, Lydia, her bronze and rose, a lady's grace, gave and withheld. As in cool Glaucus O'Donnell, minor to Tancred's too, her pinnacles of gold. The harping chords of prelude closed. A chord, long-drawn, expectant, drew a voice away.
When first I saw that form endearing...
Richie turned. "Sigh Dedalus's voice," he said. Brain-tipped, cheek touched with flame, they listened, feeling that flow endearing, flow over skin, limbs, human heart, soul, spine. Bloom signed to Pat. Bull Pat is a waiter, hard of hearing, to set ajar the door of the bar. The door of the bar, so, that'll do. Pat, waiter, waited, waiting to hear, for he was hard of hear, by the door.
Sorrow from me seemed to depart.
Through the hush of air, a voice sang to them, low, not rain, not leaves and murmur, like no voice of strings of reeds, or what do you call them, dulcimers, touching their still ears with words, still hearts of their each his remembered lives. Good, good to hear. Sorrow from them each seemed to from both depart when first they heard. When first they saw, lost Richie, Poldy, mercy of beauty, heard from a person wouldn't expect it in the least, her first merciful, love-soft, oft-loved word. Love that is singing. Love's old sweet song. Bloom unwound slowly the elastic band of his packet. Love's old sweet son, Ella, gold. Bloom wound a skein round four fork fingers, stretched it, relaxed, and wound it round his troubled double fourfold, in octave, jived them fast.
full of hope and all delighted.
Tenors get women by the score, increase their flow, throw flower at his feet. When will we meet? My head is simply jingle, all delighted. He can't sing for tall hats.
Your head, it simply swells.
Perfume for him. What perfume does your wife? I want to know. Jing. Stop. Knock. Last look at mirror, always before she answers the door. The hall. There. How do you do? I do well. There. What? Or filler of cahoots, kissing comfits in her satchel. Yes. Hands felt for the opulent. Alas. The voice rose, sighing, changed, loud, full, shining, proud.
But alas, 'twas idle dreaming.
Glorious tone, yeah, still. Cork air softer, also, their brogue. Silly man. Could have made oceans of money. Singing wrong words. Wore out his wife, now sings. But hard to tell. Only the two themselves. If he doesn't break down, keep a trot for the avenue. His hands and feet sing, too. Drink. Nerves overstrung. Must be abstemious to sing. Jenny Lind, soup, stock, sage, raw eggs, half pint of cream, for creamy dreaming. Tenderness, it welled, slow, swelling. Full, it throbbed. That's the chat. Ha, give, take, throb a throb, a pulsing proud erect. Words, music. No, it's what's behind. Bloom, looped, unlooped, noded, disnoded. Bloom. Flood of warm jim-jam, lick-it-up secretness, flow to flow in, music out, in desire, dark, to lick, flow, invading. Tipping her, tapping her, tapping her, topping her, tup. Pause to dilate, dilating, tup. The joy, the feel, the warm, the tup. To pour o'er sluices, pouring, gushes, flood, gush, flow, joy, gush, tup-throp, now. Language of love.
Ray of hope!
Beaming. Lydia for Lidwell's squeak, scarcely hear so ladylike the muse unsqueaked a ray of hope. Martha it is, coincidence, just going to write. Lionel's song, lovely name you have, can't write, except my little prez. Play on her heartstrings, purse strings too, she's a... I called you naughty boy. Still the name, Martha. How strange, today. The voice of Lionel returned, weaker but unwearied. It sang again to Richie, Poldy, Lydia, Lidwell, also sang to Pat, open-mouth ear waiting to wait. How first he saw that form endearing, how sorrow seemed to part, how look, form, word, charmed him, Gould, Lidwell, won Pat Bloom's heart. Wish I could see his face, though. Explain better. Why the barber and draggers always looked my face when I spoke his face in the glass. Still hear it better here than in the bar, though farther.
Each graceful look.
The first night when first I saw her at Matt Dillon's in Terenure. Yellow, black lace she wore. Musical chairs, we two the last. Fate, after her, fate. Round and round, slow, quick round, we two. All looked, halt, down she sat. All ousted looked, lips laughing, yellow knees.
Shunned my eye.
Singing, waiting, she sang. I turned to music, full voice of perfume. Of what perfume does your lilac trees? Bosom I saw, both full, throat warbling. First I saw. She thanked me. Why did she, me? Fate. Spanishy eyes. Under a pear tree, alone, patio, this hour in old Madrid, one side in shadow, Dolores, Chedolores. At me, luring. Ah, alluring.
Martha, oh Martha!
Quitting all languor, Lionel cried in grief, in cry of passion dominant, to love to return, with deepening yet with rising chords of harmony. In cry of Lionel loneliness, that she should know, must Martha feel. For only her he waited. Where? Here, there, try there, here, all try, where? Somewhere.
Come, thou lost one, come, thou dear one.
Alone, one love, one hope, one comfort me. Martha, chestnut, return.
Come!
It soared, a bird. It held its flight,
A swift, pure cry, soar, silver orb, it leaped serene, speeding, sustained, to come, don't spin it out too long, long breath, the breath, long life, soaring high, high, resplendent, aflame, crowned, high in the effulgent symbolistic, high of the ethereal bosom, high of the high vast irradiation, everywhere, all soaring, all around about the all, the endlessnessness. Siepold, consumed.
Come!
Well sung, all clapped. She ought to come, to me, to him, to her, you, to me, us.
Bravo! Clap, clap. Good man, Simon! Clappy, clap, clap. Encore! Clap, clip, clap. Sound as a bell. Bravo, Simon! Clap, clop, clap. Encore, unclap, said, cried, clapped, all.
Ben Dollard, Lydia Deuce, George Lidwell, Pat, Minor, two gentlemen with two tankards, Cowley, first gent with tank and bronze Miss Deuce, and gold Miss Minor. Blazes boiled in smart tan shoes, creaked on the bar floor, said before. Jingle by monuments of Sir John Gray, Horatio, one-handled Nelson, Reverend Father, Theobald Matthew, jaunted, as said before just now. A trot in heat, heat-seated. Cloche, sonne la, cloche, sonne la. Slower the mare went up the hill, by the rotunda, Rutland Square. Too slow for Boylan, Blazes Boylan, Impatience Boylan, joggle the mare. An afterclang of Cowley's chords closed, died on the air, made richer. And Richard Goulding drank his power, and Leopold Bloom his cider drank. Lidwell his Guinness, second gentleman said they would partake of two tankards if she did not mind. Miss Kennedy smirked, deserving, coral lips at first, at second. She did not mind.
7 days in jail, Ben Dollard said, on bread and water. Then you'd sing, Simon, like a garden thrush.
Lionel Simon, singer, laughed. Father Bob Cowley played. Minor Kennedy served. Second gentleman paid. Tom Kernan strutted in. Lydia admired, admired. But Bloom sang dumb. Admiring. Richie admiring, descanted on that man's glorious voice. He remembered one night long ago. Never forget that night. Si sang, 'twas rank and fame. In Ned Lambert's 'twas. Good God, he never heard in all his life a note like that. He never did.
Then, false one, we had better part.
So clear, so God, he never heard.
Since love lives not.
A clinking voice. Ask Lambert, he can tell you too. Goulding, a flush struggling in his pale, told Mr. Bloom, face of the night, Si, in Ned Lambert's, Dedalus's house, sang to his rank and fame. He, Mr. Bloom, listened, while he, Richie Goulding, told him, Mr. Bloom, of the night he, Richie, heard him, Si Dedalus, sing, 'twas rank and fame, in his, Ned Lambert's house. Brothers-in-law, relations, we never speak as we pass by. Rift in the lute, I think. Treats him with scorn, see? He admires him all the more. The night Si sang, the human voice, two tiny silky chords, wonderful, more than all the others. That voice was a lamentation. Karma now. It's in the silence you feel you hear. Vibrations. Now, silent air. Bloom unjived his crisscrossed hands, and with slack fingers plucked the slender catgut thong. He drew and plucked. It buzzed. It twanged. While Goulding talked of Barraclough's voice production, while Tom Kernan, harking back in a retrospective sort of arrangement, talked to listening Father Cowley, who played a voluntary, who nodded as he played, while Big Ben Dollard talked with Simon Dedalus, lighting, who nodded as he smoked, who smoked. Thou lost one. All songs on that theme. Yet more, Bloom stretched his string. Cruel, it seems. Let people get fond of each other. Lure them on, then tear asunder. Death, expose. Knock on the head. Out the hell out of that. Human life. Dignum. Oh, that rat's tail wriggling. 5 bob I gave. Corpus paradisum. Corncrake croaker, belly like a poisoned pup, gone. They sing, forgotten, I too, and one day she with, leave her, get tired, suffer then, snivel, big Spanishy eyes, goggly at nothing, her wavy, heavy, 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 heavy hair, uncombed. Yet too much happy bores. He stretched more, more. Are you not happy in your, twang, it snapped, jingle into Dorset Street. Miss Deuce withdrew her satiny arm, reproachful, pleased. "Don't make half so free," said she, "till we're better acquainted." George Lidwell told her really and truly, but she did not believe. First gentleman told Minor that was so. She asked him, was that so? And second tanker told her so, that that was so.
Miss Douce, Miss Lydia did not believe. Miss Kennedy, Minor, did not believe. George Lidwell, no. Miss Dew did not. The first, gent with the tank, believe, no. Did not Miss Ken, did Lydia well, the tank. Better write it here. Quills in the post office chewed and twisted. Bald Pat, at a sign, drew nigh. A pen and ink, he went. A pad, he went. A pad to blot, he heard, deaf Pat. Yes, Mr. Bloom said, teasing the curling catgut fine. It certainly is. Few lines will do. My present, all that Italian florid music is. Who is this wrote? Know the name you know better. Take out sheet, no paper, envelope. Unconcerned. It's so characteristic.
Grandest number in the whole opera, Goulding said.
It is, Bloom said. Numbers it is, all music when you come to think. 2 multiplied by 2 divided by half is twice 1. Vibrations. Chords, those are. 1 plus 2 plus 6 is 7. Do anything you like with figures juggling. Always find out this equal to that. Symmetry under a cemetery wall. He doesn't see my mourning. Callous, all for his own gut. Muse mathematics. And you think you're listening to the ethereal, but suppose you said it like, Martha 7 times 9 minus X is 35,000. Fall cried flat. It's on account of the sounds, it is. Instance, he's playing now, improvising. Might be what you like, till you hear the words. Want to listen sharp, hard. Begin all right, then hear chords a bit off. Feel lost a bit. In and out of sacks, over barrels, through wire fences, obstacle race. Time makes the tune. Question of mood you're in. Still, always nice to hear. Except scales up and down, girls learning. 2 together, next door neighbours. Ought to invent dummy pianos for that. Blumenlied, I bought for her. The name. Playing it slow, a girl. Night I came home, the girl. Door of the stables near Cecilia Street. Millie, no taste. Queer because we both, I mean. Bald deaf Pat brought quite flat pad ink. Pat set with ink, pen quite flat pad. Pat took plate, dish, knife, fork. Pat went.
It was the only language, Mr. Dedalus said to Ben. He heard them as a boy in Ringabella, Crosshaven. Ringabella, singing their barcaroles. Queenstown Harbour, full of Italian ships. Walking, you know, Ben, in the moonlight, with those earthquake hats, blending their voices. God, such music, Ben, held as a boy. Cross Ringabella Haven, moon carol.
Sar pipe removed. He held a shield of hand beside his lips that cooed a moonlight night call. Clear from an ear, a call from afar, replying. Down the edge of his freeman baton, range Blooms your other eye, scanning for, where did I see that? Callan, Coleman, Dignam, Patrick, hey-ho, hey-ho, Fawcett, aha, just I was looking. Hope he's not looking, cute as a rat. He held unfurled his freeman, can't see now. Remember right, Greek ease. Bloom dipped, blue mer, dear sir. Dear Henry wrote, dear Maddie, got your let and flow. Hell, did I put some pocker of, it's utterly impos, underline impos, to write today. Bore this. Bored Bloom, tambourine gently, with I'm just reflecting fingers, on flat pad Pat brought. On, know what I mean, no, change that E. Except my poor little press, ask for no answer. Hold on, 5 digs. 2 about here. Penny the girls, Elijah's come. 7 Davy Burns. Is 8 about, say, half a crown. My poor little press, P.O., 2 and 6. Write me along, do you despise? Jingle, have you the, so excited. Why do you call me naught? You naughty too. Oh, Mary lost the pin of her. Bye for today. Yes, yes, will tell you. Want to keep it up. Call me that other world, she wrote. My patience are exhausted to keep it up. You must believe, the tank, it is true. Folly, am I writing? Husbands don't. That's marriages does, the wives, because I'm away from, suppose, but how? She must keep young. If she found out, cardamom high grade, huh? No, not tell all. Useless pain, if they don't see. Woman, source for the gander. A hackney car, number 324, driver Barton James, of number 1 Harmony Avenue, Donnybrook, on which sat a fair, a young gentleman, stylishly dressed in an indigo-blue serge suit made by George Robert Messiers, tailor and cutter, of number 5 Eaton Quay, and wearing a straw hat, very dressy, bought of John Plastow, of number 1 Great Brunswick Street, hatter. Eh? This is the jingle that joggled and jingled. By Bluegrass's pork shop, bright tubes of Akendav trotted a gallant buttocked mare. Answering an ad? Keen Richie's eyes asked Bloom. Yes, Mr. Bloom said. Town traveller. Nothing doing, I expect. Bloom, mer, best references. But Henry wrote.
It will excite me, you know now, in haste, Henry, Ricky. Better add postscript. What is he playing now? Improvising intermezzo. P.S. The rum-tum-tum. How will you pun? You punish me. Crooked skirt swinging whack by. Tell me I want to. No. Oh, course if I didn't, I wouldn't ask. La-la-la-ri. Trails off there. Sad in minor. Why minor sad? Sign H. They like sad tale at end. P.P.S. La-la-la-ri. I feel so sad today. La-ri. So lonely. D. He plotted quick on pad of Pat. Anvil, address, just copy out of paper, murmured, Messrs. Callan, Coleman & Co. Limited. Henry wrote, Miss Martha Clifford, care of P.O., Dolphins Barn Lane, Dublin. Blot over the other so he can't read, right. Idea prize titpit, something detective, read off blotting pad. Payment at the rate of guinea per call, Machem often thinks the laughing witch, poor Mrs. Purefoy, U.P., up. Too poetical, that about the sad. Music did that. Music hath charms, Shakespeare said. Quotations every day in the year, to be or not to be. Wisdom while you wait. In Jared's rosary of Fetter Lane he walks. Great Auburn. One life is all. One body. Do. But do. Done anyhow. Postal order stamp. Post office lower down. Walk now. Enough. Barney Kiernan's, I promised to meet them. Dislike that job. House of mourning. Walk. Pat? Doesn't hear. Deaf beetle he is. Car near there now. Talk, talk. Pat? Doesn't. Settling those napkins. A lot of ground he must cover in the day. Paint face behind on him. Then he'd be two. Wish they'd sing more. Keep my mind off. Bald Pat, who was bothered, mitered the napkins. Pat is a waiter hard of his hearing. Pat is a waiter who waits while you wait. He, 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 he. He waits while you wait. He, he. A waiter is he. He, 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 he. He waits while you wait. While you wait, if you wait, he will wait while you wait. He, 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 ho. Wait while you wait. Deuce now. Deuce, Lydia, bronze and rose. She had a gorgeous, simply gorgeous time, and look at the lovely shell she brought. To the end of the bar, to him, she bore lightly the spiked and winding sea horn that he, George Lidwell, solicitor, might hear. Listen, she bade him. Under Tom Kernan's gin-hot words, the accompanist wove music slow. Authentic fact. How Walter Baptie lost his voice. Well, sir, the husband took him by the throat. Scoundrel, says he, you'll sing no more love songs. He did, Sir Tom. Bob Cowley wove. Tenors get one. Cowley lay back. Ah, now he heard. She holding it to his ear. Hear? He heard. Wonderful. She held it to her own, and through the sifted light pale gold in contrast lighted. To hear. Tap. Bloom through the bar door. Saw a shell held at their ears. He heard more faintly that they heard, each for herself alone, then each for other, hearing the plash of waves, loudly, a silent roar. Bronze by a weary golden ear, afar, they listened. Her ear, too, is a shell, the peeping lobe there. Been to the seaside. Lovely seaside, girls. Skin tanned raw. Should have put on cold cream first, make it brown. Buttered toast. Oh, and that lotion, mustn't forget. Fever near her mouth. Your head is simply. Hair braided over. Shell with seaweed. Why do they hide their ears with seaweed hair? And Turks, their mouth. Why? Her eyes over the sheet. A yashma.